First, an announcement from Bishop Burbidge. This past Wednesday, in fulfillment of a commitment made last year, Bishop Burbidge published a list of all Diocese of Arlington clergy credibly accused of sexual abuse of a minor. It is his hope that the release of these names will bring continued and deepened healing for all victims of abuse. Please visit the Diocesan website to see the bishop's letter on this issue and the list itself. Enough about that. So today our gospel is about these four beatitudes of Luke and then these four woes. Very different from what we find in the gospel of Matthew, where we see that list of the eight beatitudes. That Luke's are, blessed are you who are poor, blessed are you who are now hungry, blessed are you who are now weeping, blessed are you when people hate you. Who would believe that? That in Matthew, the beatitude on the poor is qualified, blessed are the poor in spirit. But Luke boldly goes and says, blessed are you who are poor. Matthew also goes and qualifies the beatitude on hunger. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But Luke boldly says, blessed are you who are hungry now. Who wants to be poor or hungry or weep or be hated? We've seen many terrible things, scenes of poverty, hungry, sadness and hatred on our TV screens, and all the suffering that they cause. Instead, what people want is to be rich, to be filled now, to laugh now, to be well spoken of. The world today says that happiness includes lots of money, vacations, holidays, a big house, a host of other things, many of which, though, are sinful. We could almost say that our world today is addicted to greed and sin. That there's this big deception in the world. That people are being tricked into thinking that possessions, that having possessions, will bring happiness. That people are being fed lies and believe it. And all lies come from the devil. He is the father of lies. The devil is luring people with great promises and expectations of happiness. But they're empty promises and lies. Again, if Jesus says the poor will be blessed, if the hungry will be blessed, if those who weep will be blessed, those who are hated and driven out because of him will be blessed. Obviously, Jesus is teaching us that the real and genuine blessing and happiness is something other than that common understanding that our world gives of happiness and blessing. So what Jesus' understanding of happiness and blessing is what we have to ask ourselves. We could say it like this, that there's no happiness outside of the will of God. But St. Augustine said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. God has made our human hearts, and so we will be happy only when filled by God. That our being from its first moment is directed towards God, oriented towards God. And if we try to deny this, try to find God elsewhere, we will not be happy. Or have the blessedness that Jesus is talking of. In our gospel today, Jesus did not say that poverty, hunger, sadness, or hatred is a blessing. Instead, Jesus said that the people are blessed when they are hungry, poor, weeping, or hated. That poverty, hunger, sadness, hatred are not blessings. But that these are the conditions of need and dependence that make us rely on God. That in those need of dependence on God, that we find our rest in Him. That when we rely on God, then we are who we are meant to be. Humans in relationship with God, our Creator. And so the poverty, the hunger, the weeping, the hatred, or whatever it is that our cross may be, can be an instrument to draw us closer to God. That whatever cross we have in our lives is there for a purpose, to keep us close to God. In that sense, our cross is also our blessing. And what Jesus said in today's gospel is true. That hunger, that poverty, that weeping, that hatred is a blessing. Because it's keeping one close to God. You can just go look at history, that the church has thrived under persecution. You take away that persecution, and the church in particular places loses its vibrancy. That it loses that greatness, that striving towards something. That, of course, Jesus doesn't mean that it's good to be poor or hungry, weeping or hatred. But that poverty, that hunger, that sadness, that hatred are social problems that we should strive to conquer. That Jesus told that parable of the rich man and Lazarus, reminding those of a surplus to help the needy. That when the two men died, the poor man was carried by the angels to the bosom of Abraham, while the rich man was tormented in hell. That when we're rich, we are filled now. When we're well spoken of, we're tempted to forget about God. Tempted to forget the total reliance upon God and His providence that we need to have. That we may be tempted to treat the gifts of God as gods themselves. That being rich, filled now, laughing now, well spoken of, are not in themselves contrary to God. That Abraham, Father Abraham, he had great wealth. He was rich in livestock, silver and gold. But it did not prevent him from answering God's call, from following God's call across the way, leading him to the promised land. Or you can think of Joseph of Arimathea, who was a rich man himself, who went and buried Jesus in his new tomb. That a certain level of maturity is required to live with worldly blessings and riches, to put God first. That we need to have a spirit of detachment when it comes to our earthly goods, to view them simply as a way to help us get closer to God. That if we lose ourselves in the blessings and riches of the world, instead of losing ourselves in God, the God of blessing and riches, it is indeed then a woe, to use the words of Jesus today. So what looks like a blessing in the eye of the world can, from a spiritual point of view, turn out to be a woe. And then the words of Jesus are proved true. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. Having sacrificed many things in the world, one is truly blessed in the sense that Jesus means, and blessed even during trials. That what the Lord said to Jeremiah in our first reading is true. That Jeremiah, he was going through a very difficult time. His city was under siege. The Jerusalemites, the Jerusalem people, did not listen to anything he said. That they treated him very cruelly. Only then for him to see all the prophecies he gave of the destruction of Jerusalem to come true. To be put into exile himself. That God goes and says, though, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches its roots out to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress. It still bears fruit. That's what we have to strive to be. That tree planted beside waters, to have that trust in the Lord, despite every difficulty, every cross that we might experience. That those who trust in the Lord are blessed because they believe what St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. For if this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are the most pitiable people of all. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That we trust in the Lord because we have that great promise of the resurrection. That Christ himself raised from the dead, giving us that promise that we ourselves one day will have that resurrection of our bodies. That he gave us the promise of eternal life. Opened the gates of heaven for us to be able to go to. That our hope is not only in this life, but for what Christ offers us. That the true riches are spiritual riches, not the riches this world has to offer. True riches come from Christ, who makes us spiritually rich. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sake he became poor, although he was rich, so that by his poverty we might become rich in him through his grace. The poverty, hunger, weeping, hatred are not blessings, but states of need and dependence that make us rely on God. That when we rely on God, we are who we are meant to be, humans in relationship with a God who loves us. That poverty, that hunger, that weeping, whatever it is that our own particular crosses are instruments to draw us closer to God. That we have those crosses there for a purpose. That suffering we experience at times, that illness that we experience at times, is there for a purpose to draw us closer to our God. That being in that relationship with God will bring us happiness. That loving God and being loved by Him, experiencing that pure form of love that we see in Jesus who sacrificed Himself for us, that we are called to do so in the same way, to sacrifice for each other. That one of the signs of being a Christian is being joyful. That it's for the devil and his ilk to be sad and for us to be joyful. And it reminds me of St. Ignatius of Loyola, that he grew up in the 1600s, was a soldier, and he had been wounded during a siege of a castle in his leg, and during his convalescence to recover from that wound, he had to lay in bed all the time. He couldn't walk around. Well, he was left with being able to read. And the only books available for him to read were the lives of the saints and the Bible, instead of some nice novels or something like that, to entertain yourself as the time passes. But he noticed as he spent that time in that bed, reading the lives of the saints, reading the Bible, that when he dwelt on those things of God, that he found that peace, that happiness that endured for a long time, that true joy. Whereas he dwelt on things about continuing to be that soldier, he found that was happy in the moment of thinking about them, but that afterwards the happiness would fade away. That he'd go back into that sadness, go back into feeling pity for himself. And that led him to realize that the true joy is found in God. It led him to that great conversion he experienced there in that bed. Led him forth to go forth and establish his religious order, the Jesuits, who went forth as like the Marines of the church and spread Christianity throughout the world. That he realized that the only one sadness in life is not to be a saint. Not to live out that life of holiness that we are all called to, knowing that we need to love God and that He loves us very much. So how do we achieve that happiness of the saints? How do we achieve the blessings and happiness that Jesus is talking about in our gospel today? That we're all the outward appearances of someone to look at us, we were a mess, but are happy in our hearts. There's one way to achieve that happiness. If we want to experience that happiness, we need to focus on Christ. Focus on the crucifix. And perhaps during this week we could do that. Focus on the crucifix. Either coming here to church and focusing on our very beautiful crucifix. Or even in your own home, focusing on the crucifix you have hanging on your wall. That Jesus would have come into the world only just for one of us. To save one of us. There's no one who loves you and has loved you like Jesus. Spend time with Him, looking at Him on that cross. Contemplate His love for us this week. If we don't have that joy of a Christian, ask yourself, what is it? Because you've perhaps have given yourself to some false promise, illusions, deceptions of the world, which are pulling you down. That ask God for the grace to abandon them, to give yourself to God so that you can be happy. Find happiness in Jesus. And then you will be truly happy, filled with that blessedness he spoke of in today's gospel. That blessing on a man who puts his trust in the Lord, with the Lord as his hope.